like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a band that is new to the show, but I don't think you're very new to a lot of people in the local music scene. So I think the best way to start this off is if the four of you here want to introduce yourselves, give a bit of background on the band, and then maybe if we can put a name to the voice, if you can each let me know what instrument you play, and we can take it from there.
Sounds good. My name is Emily. I'm the lead singer. Hi.
Hey, I'm Al. I play guitar and yell.
I'm Colin. I play drums in Emily's band.
And I'm Gary, and I play bass.
Cool. And Emily's band.
So, you obviously referring to it as Emily's band. Is this your project here, or is it more of a group effort? I mean, I noticed on I think it was the Facebook, it mentioned that it was your band as well. What's the backstory there?
Yeah.
So what happened was Raddy put that when he made the Juice page, our old bass player. So apparently it's my band.
Yeah. He's being a little cheeky. Yeah.
What is the background then? Because I mean, I've definitely heard the name for the past at least a couple of years now, and you know, I've just seen some stuff online. I haven't seen you live, unfortunately, yet, but looks like you have put on a pretty fun show. But what's the history here? How long has this been a band?
Well, it's just
a year and a half.
So what happened was Ratman, their old bass player, got me and Alan together, and the old drummer Jeremy. And the name comes from Roddy drinking orange juice in his beer.
Okay.
Sort of no name orange juice, wrong, not wrong way, the French way.
Just looking for a name and looking around the basement and then we see this box of orange juice. Like, what about Juice Durage? We'll just play a show or whatever and find a new name eventually, but we never did.
It stuck.
And it really stuck because of the imagery of orange. Which is very catchy, apparently.
Yeah.
Name yourself after a color.
Yeah, it takes people a few times to get the name right, too. So.
It's French. So it's Canadian.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely know about having a random name that you get stuck with, for sure. I have one of those, too. So I totally get it. This is a question that everyone hates answering, but we always want to ask it, especially with a band that's new to the show and relatively new to me. And everyone hates answering this question, too, is how do you define the type of music you play? I mean, listening to your stuff, I definitely have some ideas of where I would categorize it, but there's so many subgenres of, this something core and this, there's so many different terminology people use now. So do you have a Cole's Notes quick way to define what you do?
I've never really overthought it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? I haven't tried to genericize it. I've tried to just keep everything simple and catchy and just kind of run with it.
Fair enough.
I don't know. We're definitely fun, but in who we played with and our influences and how we play, it's kind of so broad. It's hard to put a name.
We're not really fussy, right? Like, we're not trying to be anything. We're just kind of running with it.
Yeah.
No, fair enough. And so, I mean, obviously, Winnipeg is a city that has a very strong punk scene, has had a very strong punk scene for decades now. Were you all sort of, were you in previous bands before this? Were you all sort of fans of the local punk scene before getting into this project?
Well, I'm the senior here. I've been in a bunch of punk bands, from the late 80s until now.
Cool.
A bunch of experience, bunch of different bands, played with all the bands coming through town one way or another. So yeah.
What about the rest of you? Have you had a previous punk band experience in Winnipeg or other bands, I guess, as well?
Me and Al played in the New Normal.
Okay.
And then the New Normal broke up. I got invited to join the Deuce Orange and doing that.
Cool.
And I played a guy called How to Kill like 9 years ago. That didn't really go anywhere, so yeah.
Personally, I've probably been in like 12 bands that never came up before. Like, not a single recorded trace fit anywhere.
Right on. There's a lot of those. There's definitely a lot. I've been in a bunch of those too, for sure. I get that. Definitely. So what is, I mean, you know, you've been around for, like you said, a year and a half. You seem to be playing a lot of shows, which is cool. I definitely see your name and see, you know, stuff online. What is sort of the plan with this band in the relatively near future? I mean, do you have music that's being recorded or coming out or things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. We are actually just working on a new album right now. All new songs with our new members. We have a couple shows coming out in May. We're going to be playing the side stage with Gladly and Nagi on May 17th.
Rock for Pride
for Sunshine House. Really good cause. And then May 22nd, we're going to be playing with Lost by Airman, who just came out with a new video, which is great. And then also Mouthfeel, they invited us to come play with them at the Tap House.
Cool.
Then kind of just keep grinding, getting our album together and, you know, scaring people.
Our process really goes in stages, right? We have periods where we're just focusing on playing shows and getting our set down and figuring out everything. And luckily over the past few months, we wanted to take some time away from everything to focus on writing new songs and getting more comfortable with each other.
Okay.
And we're just about to come out of that right away. We got 5 new songs. Our new set list is going to be half new songs and half old.
Yeah.
I was going to say, one of the things that I've noticed in watching your videos, and obviously, I mean, with punk bands in general, you would hope anyway, there's the live energy, there's the, like, you know, some amount of chaos happening on stage, which is kind of sort of the point of going to a punk show. Have you found it difficult to translate that or to a recorded setting? Because I think a lot of bands can do a you know, really, really high energy live show. And then when they're sort of faced with hitting record and then replicating that, it's not always the easiest thing to do, because especially depending on how things are recorded. Is that a concern with you guys, or can you bring that both ways?
We had Phil Chastain do our original EP, and he was really good at capturing the energy, like, off the floor.
At 10 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
Is that important for your songs, though? Do you feel like you need that live off the floor kind of vibe?
I prefer it, definitely. Like, I want it to sound like you just walk in some shitty person's garage, and they're like, what is this noise? You know what I mean? But I don't think we have any problem with that.
That's good.
I really like to simplify things, right? The more simpler you make it, the easier it is to catch on to. You don't have to think about it too much. You can feel it more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, I think. And I think that punk rock, too, is a genre that lends itself well to that. That sort of, the feeling rather than the overthinking and the calculated everything. It's all about energy and feel. So, yeah, as far as your songs go, what is the process of songwriting for this group? Like, do you have one or two main songwriters, or how do these things come together?
Oh, it's all over the place. A lot of the time, we'll start with lyrics and try to find a catchy saying and work off of that.
Okay.
Other times, we have a riff and we just roll through what we have written and see what matches up.
Let's just see if this sounds cool. Go from there.
It's really not that difficult. I think more people should just throw shit against the wall until it sticks.
Yep. Spaghetti.
That goes with your simplicity thing too, right? It's just stripping it down to the basics. And yeah, that works for you. That's great.
First, you can't force it. It's shit. You're going to have an aneurysm.
I communicate all the time about everything. Like, middle of the night, hey, let's do this instead of this.
The 3 a.m. texts, those are the best. That's when you're doing your homework. You have to do homework when you're in a bed. You listen to your songs, you're not in mood, you have a couple hours to yourself, and then you just want to text your homies like, dude, what if we did this?
Yeah.
Bring it to next jam.
Yeah.
Did the songs change drastically, like, after some of those 3 a.m. texts, or is it usually similar but just a few tweaks?
Well, then the 3 a.m. texts, but I usually don't get that till like 6 o'clock when I wake up.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm getting it the same day. It's just
totally toxic. It's more of a gentler change to an approach.
Okay. Have a sort of a grasp on, I assume you do at this point, where you fit in with the local music scene? Because I mean, obviously there's a big punk scene in Winnipeg, and there always has been. But some of those shows you mentioned earlier, I mean, with bands like Gladly and stuff, it's not necessarily the same feel. But that doesn't matter, obviously. But do you feel like you've sort of determined where you fit within Winnipeg's music community?
I came into this whole scene as a fan, and my role is to reach out to everybody, play with everybody, make it accessible for everybody, and get influences from the scene while you're playing with them. Get to know who they are, what they like to play, who their inspirations are, and who they want to work with. And as long as you're supporting your local scene, whether you're in a band or a fan or a venue, then I don't like to pigeonhole at all. Like, I want to work with everybody.
Right. Yeah. I'm very into playing with bands that are the opposite of us as well, to open things up a lot more.
A variety.
And then also building like a very eclectic catalog of music for ourselves. So it's not just all straight ahead punk.
Yeah.
That can be like really mellow stuff too. Like, you know, even, you know, bands like Black Sabbath, like back in the day, like, it up super heavy songs, and then like the mellowest, psychedelic, trippy kind of thing. Like, I'm interested in that, like doing hard punk, doing hard metal, doing psychedelic stuff, you know, doing even like pop songs, whatever. Like, just make it broad and try and bring it all in so it does sound like a cohesive band, but with a very eclectic variety of music.
Yeah, keep it genuine. Keep it what we are trying to say.
Whatever we are, that's what we should be doing.
So here's the thing: as far as punk shows go, if you go to a punk show, you're seeing punk bands.
Yeah.
But if you're at any other sort of show and there happens to be one or two punk bands there, then you get a greater variety of people that show up to listen.
Absolutely. Sure.
Yeah.
And it makes it more fun because, like, sometimes it might get a little boring to hear your fourth punk band of the night.
Yeah.
Especially if all the songs sound the same.
Sure.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I've tried myself in that.
Yeah.
All the songs sound the same. We got our first EP. It's the notes. That's all it is.
I definitely agree with you on that, though. I mean, the you can definitely, especially with something like punk, you can go to a show and there's six bands and they all sound, you know, pretty similar set to set, and it's boring, right? You don't want to necessarily sit through all that. But yeah, if you have one of those bands and then there's like a folk band or whatever else happening, you know, someone playing pop or synth stuff or whatever, it definitely makes for a more interesting show for sure. And then the idea of sort of doing what you want to do and sort of what comes naturally to you guys, whether that's a specific genre or not, I think that's one of the things that comes up on the show a lot, whether I'm talking to a punk band or a country singer or a rapper or whatever, is the idea that Winnipeg music fans have a really strong bullshit detector, and people can tell when you're doing something that's not genuinely what's coming out of you as an artist. So do you guys agree with that? It's definitely important to see. I'm not sure if it's maybe more than other cities, but for sure in Winnipeg, I think that if someone's doing something fake, the audience will be able to see that.
You want to see more punk to not be punk?
I think that might be true. Not punk genre wise, but aesthetically and everything, for sure, attitude wise. With mixing these different genres, I mean, like, you know, you mentioned a few minutes ago, there's sort of different elements that come together to make your sound, and obviously your sounds like you're all proud of that and having that diversity in what you do. Is it difficult to take all of those things and sort of distill them into this band's sound? Because if you're grabbing from all different directions, I mean, it would be very easy, I think, for a lot of bands to be almost spread too thin because you're trying this and trying this and trying this. But what is it like for you to you know, sort of filter all of that through what your sound is, whatever you would call it?
That's never happened.
It's pretty cohesive. We come from different backgrounds in terms of how we got started as musicians or getting into music. Like I came from jazz and folk, and, you know, obviously my influences I used to listen to. You got a couple metalheads, you got classic punk over here. And like, we all also are pretty diverse in, you know, what we like to play and what we like to listen to. So I think it's more of a matter of arranging it so it is cohesive rather than being concerned about it working together, you sure. know? Right?
I feel like we're still growing and we're still trying to find our sound. And honestly, as Colin loves to say, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Tell us your quarter. Yeah, no. Thanks. So.
Yeah, it's really funny. Every now and then. I said that in the first jam. I'm like, you know what? I don't have a clue.
We don't really have a formula, but every now and then we write something where it's like, oh yeah, that's classic Jesus, but evolved. Yeah. Right? So we're not afraid of doing something different because we know it's going to still sound like us at the end of the day.
For sure.
We're making it.
Yeah, it's us.
Yep.
Like, if we really start to sound different one day, I'll eat my words. That hasn't happened yet.
And it might be okay. Who knows?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Well, I mean, you compare Nympho to Foreskin, right?
Yeah.
They're very different sounding songs, but it's still us. You can still tell it's us.
You can even do a horn section. Like, what
have my shitty Murray up on these voices, but not as well.
Exactly.
Are there any artists that, like, you know, as music listeners that all four of you agree on, or is it pretty diverse between the four of you? Like, is there anyone that everyone sort of is a fan of?
What, Dagle Abortions?
Of course, Dagle Abortions.
Piranha?
Mike Patton?
Mike Patton, yeah.
No offense.
I mean, I think because we all are so diverse and when we listen to it's like picking a needle out of a haystack, and there's a lot of needles in the haystack. I mean,
we're constantly introducing each other to different things.
For sure.
So, yeah. And we're actually very lucky that we have a lack of stubbornness in our band, that we can be different and bring ourselves into what we're playing.
That's
an interesting way to put it, lack of stubbornness. I like that. Because it makes sense that you would be able to, without having that sort of ego thing, right? You'd be able to get along and develop whatever it is you're doing with all of these different sounds and influences coming in.
There's no template. That's why communication and respect for each other, like what we're trying to do, whether it be in the song or lyrically or beat or sound, like we are communicating to each other and we work together instead of trying to put a square peg in a
To fight for yourself.
Yeah, you can't fight music. You can try, but
the concept of showing off, right? You write something for yourself because you want to show off and be great or whatever, or you want to write something that you can share with people and experience. And back when I was starting this band, I simplified everything to be able to play with people I never played with before. I made it extremely simple, and it might have become a formula for a little bit. I call that the classic juice song, right? Three or four notes, a little bit of chaos, different tempos, but at the end of the day, it's the lyrics that makes the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should talk about the lyrics then. I mean, is there a main lyricist in the band, or do you all contribute to that, or what's the formula there?
I feel like I probably write a lot of the lyrics.
Okay. makes sense, yeah.
The thing is, like, I kind of like a solo artist, I guess. I was singing by myself with my ukulele, my little sad girl songs. Funny how the ballad translates into really heavy, fast music.
I'm more of a repetitive chorus writer. I like to write things that are easily digestible and repeatable.
Okay. That makes sense for a hook, right? That's exactly what you want. It's something that'll stick in people's heads. And
Yeah, I'll write a song based on a lyric and then expand from there.
Yeah.
Right.
Oops,
sorry, go ahead.
Like, what's the song we wrote specifically? Our new song is called Shitty Friend. A shitty friend. And what I took is that phrase, you're a shitty friend. And then I thought of a tune. You're a shitty friend. Da 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 da. I made a riff off that and we went from there. It's a combination of a verse and a chorus in one. I feel like I'm giving away my secrets.
Yeah, stop.
Yeah, now it's recorded. Now everyone's going to know how to do it.
Like, oh,
And all that shitty friends.
Once Gary showed up, he's a little bit of a riff master on the bass, right? So we've been, a couple of our newer songs, we've been working off Gary's bass lines.
Yeah.
And it's been working very well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not going to give too much away here, but I'm a little excited for this next show.
Cool, cool. Well, that's sort of what I was going to ask as well is, I mean, over the course of this band, obviously, you know, working together from over that time, you get more used to each other's playing, you get more used to sort of the sounds that work amongst the four of you. How do you think the sound has developed, you know, from when the band started to now? Not necessarily, you know, you got better at your instruments, I'm sure, during that time and better working together, but sonically, is there anything different that's happened? Or, over the course?
Right. What happened was our drummer, he had, you know, life happen, he had a lot of stuff come up. He was a fantastic drummer. So we got Colin, so different sound, different influence, and unfortunately Roddy got deported. So we had to bring two new sounds into the band. It was a little bit of an awkward phase.
A learning curve, trying to learn the old stuff because we had shows that we needed to play. We had to catch everyone up, and then we took our break to do new songs and move forward.
Yeah. So like it was a bit of a learning curve, like you said, but it worked because we show up, you know, every practice, we talk about it, we care, and also, you know, like I said, communicate. And it's nice having Gary and Colin. Like Colin, he jumped in our first EP on YouTube that I shared. He played with us twice, maybe one.
Yeah, he showed up at 9 o'clock on what, a Sunday or Saturday?
Yeah.
I was camping.
Yeah,
no. It was Thanksgiving and we were camping and I left my family in the woods and we were firing the EP down for the bag and finished recording and I left and went back to my family and we had a big potluck Thanksgiving dinner. In the woods.
Yeah.
And we love Colin ever since.
Absolutely.
That was so cool.
Did your family forgive you for bailing for a couple hours?
Oh, what was your religious to it? You know, funny thing is, our next show is a May long weekend and I'm camping and I'm going to be driving back into the city to play the show. And I don't know, hopefully I'm sober enough to drive back out to camping that night. I'll see you the next day. But they're very tolerant. They know that, you know, this is important. They're important.
Well, they're a part of it, too.
They're a part of it, yeah.
We have our practices at Colin's house in the basement.
Yes, my little boy comes down and shoots the bang with his Nerf gun.
Yeah.
So he got his little sniper.
Yeah. Jen, your wife, has been super supportive.
I can't wait to have some band barbecues this summer. I'm very much into incorporating like band life into my family life and have it as one. You know, like my previous band, you know, I would organize Christmas parties and all of our families would get together and have a band Christmas party. Like, it's important to me.
I like being friends with like bandmates.
Yes.
Like it's not a player for hire to me. Like it's personal, right. You know?
Yeah. You're not just web jobbing and then like, okay, see you next time.
You actually want to be there. You want to be there if you're friends anyway. It's not work.
Exactly. And it's not work if you're friends.
It's a little bit of work.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's a little bit of work. Yeah.
Give me something I can.
think about this being a podcast. Someone could hear it when it comes out, and you know, you have some shows imminently happening then, but someone could also hear it a year from now, 2 years from now. Apparently, I can never stop doing this show, so it might be 5 years from now. What's the best way to find your music at this point? Whether someone's listening, you know, in May or in 2035, where would they go to find your music, find out when you're playing shows and things like that?
I'm doing a show. Honestly, like, we're not really on social media too much. And well, there's a Facebook page, and there's stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, if you just look up Juice Durange, WPG Winnipeg on YouTube, it'll come up. I feel like there's certain platforms like Spotify and others that I don't agree with and will refuse to be a part of, to be honest. It might hinder us for being exposed, but the people I want to listen to my music are the ones that come to the shows or are in the community or are engaging, you know, with the bands that we like to play with. Like, that's the whole point.
I just realized we're so punk, you have to come to our show and boot like us yourself.
Yeah, I
actually really love that when someone comes to it and just films us.
Yeah, usually it's my mom.
Yeah, Gary's mom painted the bulldog at one of our last shows and was super supportive, bought a shirt. You know, that's a punk, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Well, that's our stubbornness right there. We're stubborn to promote. We just try so hard and everything.
I am.
It's like, fuck it. If you like me, you'll figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone that wants to hear it will find it. And yeah. Even that we recorded, we just put it on YouTube and it's free and it's there. If you want to download it, whatever, I guess we could at some point maybe set up a band camp. I don't know, but still.
That is the worst.
But still, well, just put some on there for free, whatever.
We have nothing physical.
Yeah.
Limited for it, or
yeah.
Or scars from the wash bay.
Stars.
We're not professionals, by the way.
Well, we will have and a few at our next show.
Yeah, can we show off for merch a little bit while we're here?
Sure, yeah, definitely. What do you got for merch? Let's do it.
Okay. Well, unknown supporter. They asked me not to use their name.
Anonymous.
We have a new perfume.
Okay.
It's a mix of orange oil, bergamot, and cedarwood. It actually smells amazing.
It sounds good.
Unisex.
You got the microphone.
No.
The morning vision.
You smell it?
Yeah, it scratches sniff, yes.
And then Gary, who's a fantastic artist, our bassist here, he came up with our new logo, which incorporates our founding member, Ratty, the Rat Man.
Very nice.
It's a rock orange.
And all of this you get at shows, right? Like you're saying, you got to come to the show to hear it, and I guess to get the merch too.
Absolutely, yeah.
We put the better. I better see you there, buddy.
I do want to come to one of your shows. It looks like a lot of fun. Do you want to just remind everyone when the next couple shows are? I'm not sure exactly when this will come out, but there'll be at least one of them happening by the time people hear this.
Next show is going to be the 17th at the side stage, our first time playing side stage, and it's going to be with Nagi and Gladleap, and then it'll be May 22nd, which is at the Tap House with Mouthfeel and Lost Planet Urban.
Unfortunately, a Thursday. Nobody likes those.
I do.
We got two people today, so we'll probably be playing first.
Yeah, we're definitely playing
first.
Yeah.
I'm staying on the 6 a.m.
Right on.